This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The rise of the price of gold over the last 12 months has been breathtaking, but it's also more than just a little scary because it feels like something is happening, like there's something weird happening with all this attention and all this wealth being piled into gold. The rocketing price of this precious metal can be seen as a barometer to how investors see what could become a shaky global economy. But if you bought gold a year ago, congratulations, you're looking pretty smart right now. But we have to ask ourselves, what is gold telling us? We're joined by David Wu. He is a globally recognized economist and investor, founder of David Wu Unbound. And David Wu, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
What are your thoughts on why is gold doing what it's doing, which is rising and it has risen fast?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, I think, you know, gold's ascent in 2025 was more of a reflection of the geopolitics, okay, rather than economics per se. I mean, there's no doubt. I think, you know, Trump's tariff had a lot to do with the rally in gold. And I think, you know, and the way you got to think about this, right? I mean, it was first of all, it was first of all the tariff, and then came Trump's essentially the grab for Maduro out of Venezuela. Let me tell you, like, gold just took off after Trump basically took out Maduro from Venezuela. And let me just explain to you what the way that the sort of people outside the U.S. think about what happened, right? You know, let's remember, Trump did not go into Venezuela, okay, to promote democracy. Trump did not invade Venezuela because Venezuela somehow poses a massive threat to U.S. national security. Trump went into Venezuela, took out Maduro in order to lay his hands on Venezuela's oil. That's it. I mean, Trump is not even apologetic about it. I mean, that's it. That's what he went for and he got. Now, what does that mean? I mean, in a way, the whole thing could be summarized by one sentence, which is the world's richest country, you know, which is the United States, has just decided to take possession of the oil riches of a very poor country only because it can.
Right. But let me just put a pin there real quick. To clarify, the oil that has been taken from Venezuela is being put, according to Donald Trump, into a separate account, not into the United States Treasury. It is an account that he will control, and it basically is an unconstitutional subversion of the power of the purse of Congress. This one, okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's all true. I mean, but for the rest of the world, what this basically, this is a very, very important development, because what does it mean? Because think about this, in the last 7 years, okay, we've had this, you know, rule-based international order that was very much of American creation, right? I mean, maybe the sort of, it was inspired by the idealism of Woodrow Wilson, who talks about equal rights and sovereignty of all countries, whether they're small or big. But the U.S. commitment to the, you know, rule-based order was definitely always motivated by strategic interests. It had to be good for the U.S. Now, however, by going into Venezuela to take control of his oil, you know what? It was a very strong signal that this meant that the rule-based order as we know it is as dead as the dodo, to the extent that the U.S. has decided to basically, that's it, it's over. That the U.S. has decided to instead of playing by the rules, the U.S. decided it would be better off leveraging its power, its strength, to extract consensus from other countries. And this is also the reason why the week after Trump went into, you know, Venezuela, he started to basically threaten Europe that he was going to take Greenland by force if necessary. Now, so therefore, the way you got to think about this, right, is that the rest of the world looks at what happened. You have Trump basically throwing up unilateral tariffs on the whole world last year, and then Venezuela and Greenland. What this basically meant for the rest of the world is that the rule-based international order is finished. It's as dead as it can be. Now, because the guarantor of the system has decided that it's better off without it. Now, think about this way. For the rest of the world, it was very clear that, you know, the reward for the U.S. as the guarantor of the system was the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, right? This is the rule-based order And the fact that the U.S. was the architect and the enforcer, the guarantor of the entire system, is the reason why 60% of international trade today is invoiced in U.S. dollar. This is the reason why 60% of global foreign exchange reserves are invested in U.S. dollar assets, right? Now people are thinking, whoa, does that make any sense? Because if Trump can take my oil, can take the oil from one country today because he feels like it, tomorrow he could decide to take somebody else's stuff. Or that, you know what, he could, the U.S. can in general, you know, default on all the, you know, government bonds, U.S. government bonds that the rest of the world is sitting on, okay? All of a sudden, investors around the world are having, forget about second thoughts, third thought, and fourth thought about the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, as a safe asset. Now, of course, they wanted to move their money somewhere else. Now, of course, the RMB is not ready for prime time. The euro has a lot of problems. So therefore, the next best thing is gold. Because, I mean, like, you know, because Trump can basically tomorrow confiscate your treasuries, because most of the U.S. government bonds held by foreigners, especially by foreign central banks, held with the New York, basically, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, by the way, in their custodian account. If Trump tomorrow decides, you know what, we don't owe you anything anymore to every country in the world, he could do that. He could just basically shut down, tell the New York Fed, forget it, that's it, just write it off to zero. But gold is a different thing. And this is the reason why I think what we're seeing is a lot of central banks, reserve managers, sovereign wealth funds are going back to buying gold. And then this is the reason why gold has done so well. I mean, this is despite the fact that, you know, I don't have to tell you, you know, Bitcoin is done poorly. You know, this is despite the fact that oil price, with which gold has supported a very strong correlation over the years, has gone down for the most part relative to 12 months ago. But the reason, the primary reason for gold's ascent over the last 12 months is definitely, you know, Trump's presidency has, you know, essentially, you know, brought about this upheaval in the world, and the people are convinced that the system that the world has lived by the last 7 years is now over.
So I'm wondering, like, who's buying up the gold, and if that's driving up the price. You know, Donald Trump uses a lot of gold to gild the Oval Office and his ballroom, but not that much of it. It's not retail investors. We see all these ads on TV telling people to buy gold, and but it's really these broad institutions and these big wealth funds. They are making a very calculated, well-informed decision that this is where they need to be able to, as a storage of wealth. Is that it?
Yeah, I think there are two parts to this. I mean, there's no doubt, you know, I think there's no doubt that foreign sovereign wealth funds, central banks have been a big part. I mean, by the way, it's not even clear that how much China has bought, for example. There's a lot of talk in the market that the Chinese are buying gold, especially given they've been dumping U.S. treasuries. But, you know, the data that we have out of China, you know, does not basically correspond to huge, basically, gold buying. And by the way, China, there's something else we have to remind ourselves, which is that China may be buying a lot of gold, but China is also the world's largest gold producer. I mean, China produces 10% of the world's gold. So if the Chinese government's buying more gold, they could be sourcing that gold domestically as opposed to basically buying it from, you know, whatever Australian or U.S., you know, miners or from the secondary market for that matter. But I think there are a lot of secondary central banks that have been buying gold, okay, in Asia, in Europe, in Latin America, pretty much everywhere. And by the way, most of these central banks' sovereign wealth funds, they keep it very quiet, right? Because nobody wants to rub this on Donald Trump's face, right? I mean, because if you're buying gold, you're basically selling dollar, basically. And then nobody wants to be, you know, nobody wants to basically get the Trump mad at them, so to speak. So they're doing this very quietly, okay? And but the point is, there's no doubt this is going on. And just give you some sense, right, in terms of numbers. Because, you know, before the rule-based international order became fully established, okay, let's just say in 1960, okay? In 1960, you know, 60% of foreign reserves, okay, by central banks around the world was held in gold, okay? And then it went all the way down to like less than 10% when the dollar was at its height, when everybody felt good about America, about America's commitment to the rule-based system. Right now, it's at 20%. If we were to even go back anywhere near 60%, forget about 60%, even go to 40%, gold's got a long way to go. And this is also the reason why gold rebounded so quickly. You know, where 2 weeks ago, you had initial sell-off, silver went down, and gold just came back, actually. So that, I think, was very interesting. But there's also no doubt that U.S. retail investors have been buying a lot of gold. You can see this very clearly in terms of ETF inflows, right? I mean, all the gold ETFs, you know, GLD and all these things, they saw massive inflows, you know, essentially last year. Now, the reason is very simple. Because if you actually look at gold, what is gold trading with, you know, we said the gold-dollar correlation is broken down because the dollar has gone down, but not that much to justify the massive rally in gold. I mean, the gold-oil correlation is broken down. Oil has gone down and gold has gone up over the past year. Interest rates have been relatively flat, and yet gold has gone up. The only correlation hasn't broken down is the gold equity market correlation. Believe it or not, you know, it's actually very funny because before COVID, gold and stock market had a negative correlation. You tend to be, you know, what the stock market is going down, that's when gold prices go up, right?
Yeah. That's, you know, that's, gold, that was the assumption at the time.
Exactly. But since COVID, you know, we now have a positive correlation. The stock market goes up, gold goes up. And you ask yourself, why is that? Let me tell you what I think the reason is.
Okay, real quickly.
I think the reason is because since COVID, U.S. retail investors have become a much bigger part of the global financial market, right? These days, if you look at a stock like NVIDIA, almost 40% of the daily turnover of NVIDIA involves a retail flow. I mean, it's amazing.
I got to hit this break. So, David, we're going to take a break here. It's a one-minute-long break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about gold. Is there a golden bubble out there? What happens if it happens to pop? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Imagine this. Your car won't run, parts are expensive, and your mechanic says what you need is on back order. Make life easy on yourself. Donate to this station. Visit tpr.careasy.org to get started.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Gold is hot right now, super hot, red hot, and it has hit a record high. It's just getting, people just want it, and it's driving the prices higher. But what does that mean as a reflection of what's happening with confidence in the global economy? David Wu is with us, a globally recognized economist, investor, and founder of David Wu Unbound. So could this just be a bubble? How much of this is exuberance and thinking, I want to get in on this rise of gold, and now it's really not a reflection of actual, you know, the wealth or whatever? I don't know. How do you rate gold? It doesn't really provide dividends. It doesn't, you know, it's just a storage device, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, my view is very simple. I think gold should be a part of your portfolio. I'm not saying you should put all your money in gold.
Even now, you go out and buy gold today? Are you still buying gold?
I would say that, you know what, I would be averaging in. I don't really see gold as being a bubble right now. Okay, because again, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, after Donald Trump. But over the next 3 years, it's difficult to see gold, you know, falling back. And by the way, the Supreme Court ruling last week against Trump's tariff is also hugely bullish gold. Because guess what? By saying that Trump's tariff is illegal, okay, that means that, you know what, all this, you know, tariff revenue that the market was counting on for the next 10 years to fund the U.S. budget deficit had just basically disappeared, vanished overnight. In fact, it's left already a $3 trillion hole for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's added more uncertainty to the global market because Trump has declared this flat across the board 15% tariffs. But under the law, he has to get congressional approval for it in 150 days or so. And so it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So it's just more chaos. People don't know how to respond to that.
Exactly, because what does it basically mean? There's no chance because 150 days, I mean, like, there is no chance right now that even the Republicans, I mean, as you know, six Republicans, congressmen, 2 weeks ago voted with the Democrats to basically to make sure that the president does not, to take away the power for the president to impose tariffs. So I think from that point of view, Trump has no chance of getting the 15% extended, which means that he's got a big shortfall. And then guess what? He's already spent this money. which is the most amazing thing. I mean, just think about this for a second. 2025, Trump came in, you had DOGE that was supposedly like cutting spending. They fire all these federal employees. He raised all this so-called $200 billion in tariff revenue. And yet the U.S. budget deficit last year, okay, came to a grand total of 6.5% of GDP, which is exactly where it was at the end of the Biden presidency. So what I'm saying is that even with, I mean, Trump has already spent the tariff money, okay? And now he's not going to get any more. And he might even have to refund the companies that actually pay. I mean, there will be court cases being fought over many, many years. But what this basically says is that, again, the fiscal dysfunction of the United States had just become even more apparent. And that's why you could argue that's very bullish gold. Because the U.S., because there's no doubt, like, U.S. budget deficit is on an unsustainable path. And when this thing blows up, the Federal Reserve will have no choice but to start printing money. And that's very bullish gold.
Right. But if you have gold and it's at this incredible price, over $5,000 per troy ounce, and suddenly we hit these bumps in the road, and gold becomes more valuable than...
Than stocks? Yeah, I think I could imagine this scenario, because I'll tell you, right now we have an AI bubble. Let's talk about that, right?
Sure.
There's a massive AI bubble right now. I mean, I don't think there's a gold bubble. There's a huge AI bubble. Like, the AI bubble is going to burst. It's just a question of when, okay? When it bursts, the U.S. economy is going to slow very sharply. In fact, we're most likely going to go to a recession.
Almost all the growth stocks are in AI related.
Exactly.
So, and like, all the spending and all the jobs and everything is all wrapped up in AI. So if that, you know, implodes, it is going to be a wildfire across the economy.
Exactly. Because as you know, like, you know, AI was the only reason why the economy did not go into a recession last year. Because AI, you know, the stock went up so much that it represented a massive, you know, basically positive wealth effect. I mean, at least for the top 15%, 20% of Americans who own all of these AI stocks, they did extremely well. They felt wealthier. They go out and spend money. I mean, this is why, like, you've got, you know, increasingly a narrow section of the U.S., you know, basically households who are carrying the economy on their back, mainly through rising wealth associated with the AI holdings. When the AI bubble burst, I'm telling you, we're going to go into a recession. And then we go into a recession, and guess what? You know, the Federal Reserve is going to be cutting rates like there's no tomorrow. At the same time, the U.S. budget deficit is going to blow out. We're going to see 10%, 15% of GDP of deficit very easily.
So that's the inflationary.
That will be eventually inflation, not when you're in a recession. But the point here in the short term, lower interest rates and a bigger budget deficit, that recipe is going to be very bullish gold. So I'm just saying, like, you know, and then maybe at that point, Trump is going to grab more country stuff because he'll need that all that money that he can get his hands on.
So people had been putting money into cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, of course, and we've seen the drop off in Bitcoin quite a bit. And it's starting to look like that Bitcoin never really was a safe asset, that it was really just a froth of an overheated economy. Does that look right?
I think, you know, listen, I mean, you know, again, we're trading, I mean, the whole market, entire Wall Street, I mean, like, I have a reputation, it was a good reputation, I have a reputation as the Trump whisperer on Wall Street. You know, I was the head of global macro strategy at Bank of America for many years, and I sort of predicted the Trump. I have a sort of, but what I tell you this, Bitcoin, crypto, just like everything else, has been trading Trump, right? Because since Trump's election victory in 2024, Bitcoin just shot up. Because everybody said, oh, well, Trump got all this donation money from the crypto, basically, establishment. He'll have to do something good for crypto. What people don't understand is this. Trump already did his good by the crypto industry, which is the Genius Act that was passed by Congress last year. Now, Trump's main interest in crypto is in stable coins. Mm-hmm. And as you know, most 80, 90% of stable coins are pegged to the US dollar. Trump was always interested in promoting stable coins because he sees stable coins as a digital extension of the US dollar. Also, the Genius Act that was passed last year by Congress requires all stable coins be backed by US government bonds. So for Trump, it's a win-win situation. You're going to basically make the dollar stronger, more relevant in the digital space. And then you're going to get, you know, I mean, stable coins to buy all these treasuries, okay, which he needs because you're running a massive deficit. What he doesn't care about Bitcoin. He doesn't care about all the rest of the crypto-based universe. In fact, I think the MAGA camp is very, very misguided in even believing that somehow that Bitcoin offers a safe haven, they see as a source of liberation. That's simply not true. Because if the U.S. government wants to confiscate, take away your Bitcoin, they can do that tomorrow so easily it's not even funny. Because every transaction involving Bitcoin is registered on the so-called blockchain. I mean, it will remain the case for the next million years. So the U.S. government can take away your Bitcoin just as easily they can basically take away anything else of yours. Gold is a very different story.
But so what about, I mean, if there is a huge sell-off on Bitcoin or crypto and AI and as it collapses, people are saying, will there be a bailout? Will there be a Bitcoin bailout or AI bailout? And that's just asking the question to me is kind of like, oh no, why are we even talking about this?
I think you're right. But but I would not rule that out ahead of the midterm elections. You remember, Trump, you know, again, you're talking about crypto has been particularly popular among MAGA people. It's been popular among younger people. And I will tell you, like, you know, in 2024, the younger voters voted overwhelmingly for Trump and then obviously MAGA. So Trump might decide to throw them a bone ahead of the midterm election. You know, if crypto gets down to, let's say Bitcoin gets down to 50,000. Okay, well, 40,000. Trump could write in as the savior, okay, of Bitcoin, and he'll do that because it will politically will be rather savvy thing to do. And so, from that point of view, again, that is something I do think that we cannot rule out. Again, I'm not trying to say this is for me. I'm in the investment strategy business. I'm not trying to say what's good or what's bad policy. I'm saying what's good politics and what's bad politics. In this case, he might just do it.
What does this mean for the average consumer?
I think for the average consumer, I think all the average consumer needs to know is this, okay? Until a month ago, before the Supreme Court ruling on the legality of the tariff, I still thought that there was a decent chance that Trump was going to try to press Congress to adopt his idea of sending a $2,000, you know, tariff rebate to every American, okay? So that to basically give a big boost to the economy, to consumers in particular before the midterm election in order to put his party in a competitive position ahead of the midterm. Now with the Supreme Court having ruled the tariffs illegal, there is no chance that Congress is gonna go along with this. So I think from that point of view, like in a way, Trump is quite tapped out in that sense. Like I think in terms of like, there's not much he can do. I think he's already a lame duck in terms of domestic policies. Whether it's on the fiscal policy front or as far as the Fed is concerned, there's not much he can do. This is also the reason why I do think that Trump has no choice. In fact, I would argue that Supreme Court's decision last week to rule the tariff illegal makes it much more likely that Trump is going to hit Iran. And I live in Israel. I'm sitting here in Israel, and I'm telling you, to me, that this is almost a done thing. And because Trump now has a need to assert his authority, especially in the international space, and hitting Iran is going to help. He definitely believes that's going to help him do exactly that. And this is why he made a case for it yesterday in the State of the Union. So I kind of think that this is happening, and that's bullish for oil. And I'm definitely bullish oil right here. And then if oil goes up, I think gold could go up as well.
David Wu, he is a globally recognized economist and investor, founder of David Wu Unbound. Thank you, David Wu, for coming on the air today, talking to us. Oh, I love this stuff. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.